بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد،
I want to begin when we talk about success, I want to begin with one reminder to myself and to you. And that reminder is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is just. Allah is al-adil. Allah does not favor one over the other without cause. So when we talk about rules of success, as far as this world is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the same rules of success for everybody, whether they believe in Him, whether they worship Him or not. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the rules of physics the same for everybody. For example, gravity is the force that draws any object in free fall towards the earth at an acceleration of 32 feet per second per second. That applies to a snowflake, it applies to a stone, it applies to a comet, it applies to you or me. So if a Muslim wants to do skydiving and he jumps out of a plane at 10,000 feet and he says, I don't need a parachute because I am Muslim, Allah will save me, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then what will happen is, inshallah, he will die with the kalima on his tongue. I mean, right, that's it. Other than that, it will not cancel out gravity, because the rule Allah made is the same rule for everybody, which is, if you jump out of a plane at 10,000 feet, you better have a parachute that works. If it doesn't work, then you are history, right? So, the same thing applies as far as success or failure is concerned. Muslims do not get special success because you are Muslim. People who don't believe in Allah do not get special failure because they don't believe in Allah. The success and failure in the Akhirah is a different matter. So the bonus that we as Muslims have, and Alhamdulillah we need to appreciate that, is that when you work in this dunya for success in this world, and you work for that success according to the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then you get dunya and akhirah. The example I give is like, you know, you're moving a mouse. So the mouse, you're moving on your mouse pad, but the cursor is moving on the screen. So if you do something here, the cursor is doing something on the screen, which is giving you some results. Now that is how the dunya and the akhirah works. I do something in the dunya. For example, I smile at my brother, and one hasana goes ting in my account in the akhirah. I smiled here at Brother Salahuddin and I get the hasana there. But in this dunya also, because I smile at him, he smiles back at me, he feels good, I feel good. Now this will apply whether I am Muslim, non-Muslim, anybody. Anybody who smiles at somebody else, they, you know, they get a smile back, you feel good, they feel good. This is universal for anyone. If you walk around in the world looking like death warmed up, that's what you're going to get. But if you want to show your teeth, then that's fine. But if you do that with the intention that this is the sunnah, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us, we also get the akhirah. Now, let me give you an example of this. I want to start with this quote. It's a very nice quote, which is not mine, somebody else, but very, very nice quote. He said, we must all suffer from one of two things. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. This is universal. This is one of the universal laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must all suffer from one of two things. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. As I said yesterday, there is no great secret with regard to what people achieve. They achieve because they work for that. That's it. There's no magic. They get what they get because they put in the amount of effort that is required. And those who don't get it, they don't get it for the same reasons. Your situation in life, your present circumstances do not decide whether you will succeed or fail. They only decide where you need to start. That's it. So here is an example. I want to mention this guy to you. He was from Vermont. His name was Wilson Bentley. The reason he's called Wilson Snowflake Bentley is because he spent 40 years of his life photographing snowflakes. Right? How many years? 40 years. Photographing snowflakes. Now, think about this. He lives in Vermont, which is a nice place to live if you want to photograph snowflakes because you got a lot of snow. But the problem with photographing something like a snowflake is that if you touch it, it melts. We're not talking about, but we are talking about a single snowflake, one individual snowflake. You put it on your finger, it melts. Second thing is, it is so small and you are looking at what? 1865. What kind of photographic equipment do you think he had in 1865? Right, we're not talking about the sophisticated mirrorless cameras, which is the latest standard. We're not talking about the, you know, all the DSLRs and so on and so forth. You're talking about some very basic cameras. He perfected a technique where he would take the snowflake on a black piece of velvet, and then he connected a microscope to his camera, and then he would take photographs. He took over, or he preserved over 5,000 photographs. Right? Now, why am I mentioning that? Why am I mentioning this to you? And what is the connection of Dunya wal Akhirah in this? Two reasons. First of all, here is an example of somebody who had this complete and total dedication to this one goal in his life, which was to photograph snowflakes. And you know how this is connected to the Akhirah? Is the discovery of Wilson Bentley. Wilson Bentley discovered that the structure, now listen good, the structure of every single snowflake is different. The structure of every single snowflake is different. It's not a matter of belief. It's not a matter of anything. This is photographic evidence to this effect. The structure of every single snowflake is different. Google Wilson Bentley and you will get photographs also of the snowflakes. In my presentation which I have on the glory of Allah, I have those photographs and so on that presentation as well. I'm not showing you here. But just think about that. I'm talking about rule of success is what? Dedication. How much dedication? Total dedication. What is the result? 1865, 2019, over 100 years later, I, who never knew Wilson Bentley, most of you or all of you did not know Wilson Bentley, know Wilson Bentley, and we are remembering him with honor in this place because of that dedication. And it opens our eyes to the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqeen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates every single snowflake different. What do you say about the one who creates every single fingerprint different? This fingerprint of mine, when I die, will never come back again. It did not exist. The day I was born, this fingerprint was born. When I die, this is gone. This is never going to come back again. Think about these things. The problem is we do not reflect on ourselves enough. Just look at your thumbprint. Everybody put up your thumb. Look at your thumb. Look at that. Right? If that is all wound, if it's worn off, then look at your whichever finger. That really, sometimes you know you don't get a this fingerprint of yours and mine did not exist before we were born. And once we are gone, this will never ever come back into this world until the day when Allah finishes this world. What do you say about that? The iris. Nowadays, technology, you go stand, the camera takes a picture of your iris, that even more. Made only once, never to come back. The stripes on the back of a zebra. When a little zebra baby is born, that mother who gave birth to it traveling in the middle of a herd of 2 million herbivores. There are zebras, there are wildebeest, there are all kinds of herbivorous creatures. They are traveling across the Serengeti plain. They've got to cross 2 major rivers with massive crocodiles in them. They have a honor guard of lions and leopards and hyenas picking up the weak ones. In the middle of that zebra mother gives birth to her baby. The baby drops, and after some minutes, that baby is running with the mother. Now, that baby imprints the stripe pattern on his mother's or her mother's backside, because he or she is following the mother. And you know why that's important? Because no zebra will feed any other zebra's calf. So if that little zebra does not fix the mother's pattern, that is a dead zebra. And every zebra's pattern is different. So in that herd of 2 million animals, that little calf finds his or her mother. And if you are still not impressed with my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, go to Antarctica. See the emperor penguins. A male emperor penguin is taller than I am. Stand 6 feet plus tall. What do they do? Ajib, the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Completely, they boggles the mind. If you were creating penguins, let me ask you this question. If you were creating penguins, what do penguins eat? Pakistani biryani, right? No? What do they eat? Hummus? They eat fish. So if you created penguins, where would you want those penguins to be closest to the ocean, right? Emperor penguins, when they are ready to breed, they go 200 miles inland. 200 miles inland. And then, how far is New York from here? 200 miles? Roughly, right? Yeah? From here, New York? Is how far? 300 miles. So what's 200 miles from here? Huh?
126.
So they go further away. It's like if the penguins were in New York, they will come to Western Mass, or they will go further up, right? Now the point is, these penguins, when they are ready to nest, they go 200 miles inland. And then the female lays an egg, single egg. The male, talk about women's rights. The male stands with that egg on his feet. And there is a roll of belly, skin and fat which covers the egg. He's standing there in minus 80 degrees Celsius temperatures. Do the sums of Fahrenheit. In 200 miles an hour blizzard winds. If that egg is exposed to that cold, even for a second, it's gone. If that egg falls on the ground, even for a second, it's frozen, it's finished. The male stands there with the egg on his feet, covered. The females go back to the ocean. They go 200 miles back to the ocean. The toboggan on their bellies. Penguins can't fly. Then, these males gather in colonies, which are thousands of penguins. Not one or two, there are thousands of them, huge colonies. And then see the fun of this. Tell me, if you are standing, if you are a penguin, in this colony of thousands of penguins surrounded, which is the warmest place in that colony? In the center, right? In the center. You know what these birds do? They stand like that, and in a cycle, every couple of hours, the birds in the center, they move back, and the birds in the periphery, they move in. And then they move out, and they move in. And this process is going on day and night for 2 months. And while they are doing that, this whole movement in and out, remember, they are standing with the egg on their feet and they are going like this and the egg cannot drop. Huh? 2 months, no food, no water. 2 months. They are consuming their body fat. And after 2 months, the eggs hatch, the ladies come back, and then how do they find their babies? You're talking about a million penguins. They all look the same. They all look the same. If they are Christian penguins, they look like nuns. If they are Muslim penguins, they look like women in hijab. That's the description of the penguin. Huh? And if they are male penguins, they look like somebody in a DJ. Dinner jacket. How do they find their babies? From the sound. How does the female find the baby from the sound of a baby she never heard before? Because she just came back. Huh? This is Allah. This is Allah. I'm worried, you are worried about your jobs and you're worried about your businesses and you're worried about this and that and the other, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is feeding those penguins, millions of them, in Antarctica, in those weather conditions. Huh? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is feeding those little zebras who are following their mother imprinted on their back. Hey, Hajib, eh? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the octopus which has no defense except camouflage. One day I'm going to do that presentation of mine for all of you guys. You see the pictures, you'll blow your minds. It'll blow your minds. This is the beauty of technology. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us today the instruments to see these things, which normally we wouldn't have been able to see. But now we can see it. Alhamdulillah, you take that and you put the Quran along with it, and then you see the beauty of this. Octopi camouflage by doing two things. They match color and they match texture. So they hide themselves in rocks and it looks like a rock. They hide themselves in seaweed and it looks like seaweed. They match color and they match texture perfectly. Now tell me something. If you were creating an octopus, if you were creating this creature, which to survive had to match color perfectly, what kind of eyesight would you want to give it? Tell me. What kind of eyesight? Hello? What kind of vision? Very good vision. Some or something more? Full color vision, right? Yes or no? You want the thing to match color, so you want to give it, and you would have given it full color vision. Yes or no? You want something to match texture. What must you give it? What must, if I need to match texture, if I say, okay, I've got this this tissue here, and I've got this piece of plastic. What am I doing here now? Feeling it, right? I'm feeling it. If I want to match texture, I need to touch it, yes? Now hold your breath. Octopi are colorblind. They only see black and white. And they match texture by sight, not by touch. Eh? Who except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a creature whose only way of survival is to match color and texture perfectly and then decree that that thing cannot see color and decree that that thing will match texture by sight, not by touch. This is my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Huh? How many of you have heard of the Iron Man competition? Right? You heard about it, right? Let me tell you about an Iron Man. And this Iron Man is 3.5 grams in weight. 3.5 grams in weight. 5 grams, if you take a teaspoon of sugar, that's 5 grams. 3.5 grams is less than a teaspoon of sugar in weight. When I used to live in South America in Guyana, I remember once we were, my friend Peter Ramsing and I were hunting in the rainforest, and I saw something that looked like a moth. It was buzzing. There was some flower on the tree and it was buzzing. It went into the flower, came back out. I said to Peter, I said, what's that? Is that a moth? He says, no, that's a hummingbird. The only bird which can fly backwards. The only bird which beats its wings at 1,000 RPM. So it buzzes, literally. The male is smaller. The female is bigger and weighs around 3.5 grams. These birds, they live in the Amazonian rainforest in South America. These birds, they migrate. Now you might say, well, you know, you have Canada geese which migrate from Alaska because there's no food and so on and so forth. But if you are a hummingbird and you exist on nectar, and if you are living in the Amazonian rainforest, that's like being born inside a chocolate sundae. You got food all around you. So why do you migrate? For food? No, there's no need. There's plenty of food. But they migrate. Part of that migratory route, the total distance of migration is over 2,000 miles. A bird, 3.5 grams in weight, is traveling 2,000 miles. Part of that migration route is across the Gulf of Mexico, a distance of 600 miles. That little bird does that distance in 26 hours of non-stop flight. Why non-stop flight? Because if that bird lands in the water, it is fish food. It's not a water bird. What is the meaning of 26 hours? It means the bird takes off at sunrise, the bird is flying, the sun is at its zenith, the bird is flying, the sun is setting, the bird is flying. In the dark of the night, there is no moon, there is no star, the bird is flying, it does not lose energy, it does not lose direction. 2 hours into the new day, the bird lands in the United States of America without a visa. They migrate from South America to the bank of the Mississippi River. What is the question to ask? Why? Why? I want you to all say this. Why?
Why?
Say it nicely, loudly.
Why?
Very nice. You know why? So that you understand the meaning of the ayah. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ إِنَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ بَصِيرٌ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ. This little bird, 3.5 grams in weight, is going across the open ocean. Who knows it is there? Who cares it is there? Who looks after it? Who takes it from one end to the other end? Eh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That is why we need to see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within ourselves and in all around us in creation, so that we connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And this is the first key of success. Ta'alluq ma'allah.
Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.